More than 15 years ago, a Japanese prime minister visiting India mooted the idea of a broader Asia taking shape at the confluence of the two seas. The year was 2007. The place was the Indian Parliament. Shinzo Abe was the Japanese prime minister at the time, and the seas were the Indian and Pacific Oceans. Today, another Japanese prime minister, Fumio Kishida, unveiled his plans for a free and open Indo-Pacific, once again on Indian soil. In the next 3 minutes, we will tell you all about this new plan and why India is so crucial in Japan's Indo-Pacific construct. Now, the Japanese Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, is on a two-day visit to India. He met with the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, today. Apart from wide-ranging discussions on bilateral and regional issues, the Japanese Prime Minister invited his Indian counterpart to the upcoming G7 summit, which will be held in Hiroshima in May. Later, the two leaders had some candid moments where the two dignitaries shared the popular Indian street food, Pani Puri. For India, Japan announced investment in multiple sectors, from industry to disaster prevention. The plan is seen as Tokyo's bid to forge stronger ties with countries in the South and Southeast Asia. All of this is to achieve one goal, to counter China's growing assertiveness. The Japanese Prime Minister also unveiled a plan to promote a free and open Indo-Pacific. He promised billions of dollars in investment to help economies across the region. Kishida laid out four pillars to Japan's new Indo-Pacific plan. Number one, principles for peace and rules for prosperity. Second, to address global challenges in an Indo-Pacific way, that is, with cooperation of countries in the region. The third pillar is multi-layered connectivity. Kishida called it the core element of cooperation in the region. The final pillar is extending efforts for security and safe use of the sea to the air. With this, the Japanese Prime Minister extended the idea of Indo-Pacific from the confluence of the seas to airspace as well, to include what he called entire public domain, to bring its pillars of construct to reality. Japan pledged $75 billion to the region by 2030. This will be ensured via private investment and yen loans, and by ramping up aid through official governmental assistance and grants.
Through these efforts and with the work of the public and private sector, in tandem, we will respond robustly to the needs of each country. Japan will mobilize a total of more than $75 billion in public and private funds through private investments, yen loans and other means in the Indo-Pacific region by 2030 in infrastructure, for which there are major demands from each country. Japan will grow together with other countries.
Kishida's plans also include investments in India's northeast, with plans to integrate Bangladesh and other nations in the region in a single economic zone. This can be seen as Japan's support to the existing BIMSTEC group.
In fact, what we are now witnessing increasingly is India-Japan partnership formulating, operationalizing and conceptualizing ideas for third countries, and in this case, Bangladesh, for example. And in Northeast, which is a very sensitive geography for India, Japan is perhaps the only country with whom India shares that level of confidence that it has been allowed to invest in the Northeast. So Japan has enormous stakes, and India has enormous stakes in Japan's success in the Northeast, because for India, Northeast is the gateway to the wider East and Southeast Asia.
China has ramped up its military presence in the Indo-Pacific. It's also promoting its Belt and Road Initiative. Japan and India, along with the US and Australia, want to counter Chinese influence. Thus, India and Japan have deepened their ties in defense and strategic affairs in recent years.